Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast. Or Kangs, depending on your vernacular. We back, baby. We coming off a loss. We took an L to the Green Bay Shit Packers. Bears Twitter is spiraling out of control.
Everybody's wishing death on Justin Fields, huh? Thus, many men wish death on Justin Fields, man. What the fuck is y'all on? Then what kills me is everybody. I have the all 22, and I seen that Justin Fields had wide receivers wide open at the top. Then he had them open at the bottom. Then he had them open in the middle. Man, shut the fuck up. You don't even know what you're looking at. Seriously. Like, and it. He had Darnell Mooney wide open, and he missed him by a mile. Thank you, Justin Fields, for coming out and telling everybody he fucked up on the route. Thank you. Thank you. Because again, you know, when I said it, when we was all in spaces,
we tried to say that. Yeah.
And I said he didn't stack the corner. That's why he wasn't wide open. Right. He was miles away. That's how when he ran it at a flatter angle, instead of just stacking the damn DB, he allowed him to catch up with him. It's not hard because he had the angle. It was a shorter distance of travel. It was supposed to be at a flatter route. And he didn't stack him like he was supposed to, which means get over top of him and stay on top of him.
Stay on top of him, make him run into the backside of you.
Exactly.
If the ball is short, he runs into the backside of you. He runs into your back, and it's a flag. It's an automatic flag.
Go ahead, Will. Educate these fools, will you?
Hey, you're the expert on that matter, bro. So, you know what I mean?
Not only that, though. It's just looking at the all 22 and cats. Oh, Justin Fields needs to process faster. He had 3.76 seconds, the most out of any quarterback this week to block, because the all 22 says so. Listen, man. Listen, okay. I was only upset with Justin Fields for two plays, right? Mm-hmm. One of them where he scrambled back into a sack when he should have just took off. That play, and I think it was another play that I can't think of right now, and I'm not about to make up a play, but it was another play I can't think of right now that I was upset that he had an opportunity to make and he didn't make. But other than that, I'm not tripping. He had a pretty decent game. They dialed up, if I'm not mistaken, they said that they dialed up more than 11 pass plays, and on 11 of those pass plays he ran. Out of 11 he passed, and then eight of them he ran.
Well, some of them was design runs.
Design runs. Let them tell it. Yeah. But according to Getsy says he dialed up, I think it was close to 20 or something pass plays, and eight of them Justin ran. Okay. All right, whatever. What have you?
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. It was the better option, and he chose that. That's what he chose to do. But however, on the 11 pass plays in which he dropped back, one of them you had Mustafa getting physically assaulted in the middle and just slung into Patrick's legs.
By one arm. Well, and to Mustafa, you know what I mean? Because we ain't going to pile on him, right?
But that's why his ass is back there catching snaps this week instead of snapping the ball this week.
Exactly. We all knew that.
Yeah, it was coming.
That's you know, that's what they signed Lucas Patrick for. He got thrown by one arm into the other guy. And Kenny Clark came right up the middle, hit Justin right in his chest, right?
Olin Kreutz was hot behind that because he was going back and forth physically inviting fans to fight after that game. You know that, right? He was in the thread.
When he choked Adam Hole.
Bro, he was literally in the thread. Go to the thread where I posted, and he was literally in the thread inviting fans to a fist fight. Like, what are you doing? You're not getting in the Hall of Fame doing that, homie. I'm sorry, but continue, Dad. I mean, it just tickled me because he was pissed. Everybody's like piling on him like, damn, what was you teaching him this offseason?
I mean, and you know, and Bears Twitter can be, they can pick one play out and blow it out of proportion, right? And I get that.
You can't blow that one out of proportion.
Olin Cruz, chill though, you know what I mean? It is Kenny Clark. That's all you had to say. Hey, it's right. Kenny Clark, that's all pro. You know what I mean? You win some, you lose some. It's going to happen to the best of them. I've been thrown to the ground before, right? But I've done a lot of throwing too. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you got that play. That was a play that should have been caught by Cole Kmet. I don't care if it was for 5 yards or whatever.
Yeah.
It should have been caught. Your quarterback stands there in the pocket, stands tall, takes the shot, and then delivers the ball and delivers it on the money. Catch the freaking ball. That's all you got to do. I don't know what the jump was. You know, Cole, you know, bottom line is this. The offense needs to be comfortable. They need to get some plays called that gets them comfortable and gets them some momentum. Otherwise, we're going to have this issue. We're going to have this problem. And the first game, hey, it was a monsoon. Nobody's comfortable in that, right? The second game, you know, you really could not get any traction. You had a nice opening, you know, drive. But after that, three and out, it was just like, what's going on? So, you know, you have that situation. You gotta be able to call these plays and get them in there and put them in the right position, right? So we have those issues. Those are the issues. We're critical of Justin Fields where we need to be. But at the same time, we're not going to sit here and disparage the dude for that performance the other day. And it pisses me off because, once again, we trying back to, you know, these national media members, Bears Twitter.
It's not all about race, bro. It's not all about race, bro.
I don't want to hear that, man. I don't want to hear it. It is, you know, straight up, there ain't no other way to slice it. It's about who he is. It's about him being unapologetically black. It's about him being a black dude at quarterback. Many people don't like it. Many men don't like it. Name of this podcast episode, Many Men.
Many Men.
Yeah, but you know, it is what it is, man. You know, guys, take a relax, man. Look at it for what it is and really break it down. Shady McCoy pissed me off too, man.
Man, his herpes was flaring up, bro. So, you know, he was tripping a little bit. He didn't take his Valtrex before he went ahead and did the show, bro. So, fuck him. You know what I'm saying? He was already agitated and irritated anyway. So, you know,
he bro, was just I just in don't a bad understand mood. How guys can get on television and, hey, kudos to you. You got a career after football. But how do you get on television and speak on something that you have not done the research on? You cannot possibly tell me that you looked at that game.
He said
Justin Fields was running around, throwing the ball everywhere. No, he wasn't. What are you talking about? Throwing the ball everywhere. Like, he was erratic with his throws and stuff. That's not even the case. What are you talking about? He was 7-for-11. You take out those two YOLO balls that he threw at the end of the game with 2 minutes to go, and that's 7-9. And then the other two incompletions was to Cole Kmet, which we just talked about, him dropping the ball, and Darnell Mooney, who didn't stack his receiver. So you look at it, and he's 7-for-7 at that point. So, nice. You know, people need to just, once again, man, just do your research, bro. Otherwise, don't get out here talking crazy and talking stupid, trying to get likes and clicks and all of that type of stuff.
That's what garbage. It's all about. That's garbage. What it's all about. It's all about likes and clicks, man. Everybody's an expert. Nobody played quarterback, but everybody knows how to play quarterback.
Everybody watching all 22, and I'm just going to be real. I'm on it today. Like, well, y'all wasn't doing this all 22 until the Three Kings did it. Straight up. Facts. Y'all wasn't doing it. Now everybody want to do it. We give credit to the people that was doing it. I give credit to some people like Bearlissimo. He been on it. You know what I mean? Yeah. He been doing it. But you got all these little idiots that's popping up here and there talking about, yeah, I seen this, and this guy was wide open. This guy was open. Bro, you don't know what the reads are. Exactly. You don't know where his progression goes. It, you know, perfect example is what I tweeted the other day. Justin Fields let everybody know when Allen Robinson was wide open on that one play and everybody was asking why you didn't throw him the ball, my eyes ain't even supposed to go to that area.
That's not even my read.
That's not where I'm supposed to read.
Perfect.
These are my progressions.
Another one.
Y'all don't know it.
Another one. What? Since these all 22 experts, right? Who was the player that they said was wide open up top? One of the Equanimeous St. Brown that they claimed was open up top, right? They claimed he was open up top. No, the fuck he wasn't. The safety was over top there, okay? It was either going to the sideline or it was going to get picked off if he threw it in that direction. When Justin looked over in that direction for the all 22 experts, if you look from the motherfucking cat, from the what they call the Eagle's Nest view over top, with the offense and the defense in front, you got the whole field. As you can see, when Justin's dropped back, Justin first look was over there, was actually over there to the right where Equanimeous St. Brown was, and the safety rolled over top.
Right.
Just because right, you looking at it, oh, he's open, throw him the ball. No, the fuck he wasn't. He was covered, okay? That play would have resulted in the same interception that he threw last year when he threw it to the end zone. It'll resulted in the same damn result, which that ain't what we want. We want him to protect the ball. Numero fucking uno, okay? Because we don't have the goddamn resources nor the horses to get into a shootout with anyone. Like Will stated, we have to muck these games up.
Exactly.
We got to muck them up in order to win. And just give ourselves an opportunity to win in the fourth quarter. Just be there in the fourth quarter. Make the game ugly. Be there in the fourth quarter. We playing really old style Bears football. When our coach was Dick Geron. Remember that? We used to muck the game up. That's when we had Mike Brown too.
Yeah.
We used to muck the game up. The year we went 13-3. And no one gave us a chance in hell to do it. And we lost in the first round to
make
the Eagles. Muck the game up.
Way. You know?
And that's where they learned and became experts. Pros. Yeah, absolutely.
For you experts on all 22 that who have now become experts in the last 2 weeks, right? And, you know, watching the monsoon.
I have the all 22, bro.
Since you're now an expert at it, just notice this. Know this, that when you're looking at that from that bird's eye view in the sky, right? The all 22, that's not a field view. That's not what Justin sees.
No,
right?
Exactly.
When his people on his tail chasing them down, right? When he got people folding in on him from both sides. So what you see from the all 22, you get a privileged position on the field to see the entire situation. He doesn't have that, right?
And you're looking at it very slowly.
Understand? Yeah,
you
exactly.
Have a helmet
very slowly.
In slow motion.
You're looking at
and
the play develop slow as fuck.
You have a helmet.
Okay.
Exactly.
Let's really take the opportunity to say, all right, down, set, hut, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. A decision has to be made right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. You got to make a decision.
And sometimes before that.
Yeah, Rashard Gary, Kenny Clark on your ass.
Yeah. Yeah. While you watching one play for 5 minutes and you could point out everything that he was supposed to see, trust me, he got to do that in 3 seconds. Idiots, man.
Wearing a face mask, the offensive line collapsing, the people in front of him, he has some idiots.
But it is what it is, man. These people are nonsense. They crazy. You know?
The thing about quarterbacks, man, is that you got to look at Jalen Hurts and how Jalen Hurts developed over the course of, 3 years? And people see Jalen Hurts right now and everybody's amazed. Look at Jalen Hurts. He's awesome. He's awesome. He's awesome. Jalen Hurts didn't start off like that. Jalen Hurts was missing the same type of plays that Justin Fields was missing, right? And I posted that clip of QB School showing a breakdown where Jalen Hurts ended up getting sacked. He had a corner route come open and he had, over. And he missed both. And he ended up getting strapped. He ended up getting sacked and strips at. Right, and it turned into a turnover. And so Justin Fields, you're saying he made a couple of decisions just like that, man. And so you got to be patient with these young quarterbacks. Right now, you got everybody to think they're expert. Everybody got all 22. These guys got 10 dudes in front of them that are 300 pounds trying to sack them. They got a face mask on. They're looking to the left. The guy open to the right, and you're trying to say, oh, he should have saw it. Like, to me, that lets me know that some of these people haven't played ball at all.
Yeah. That play down there at the goal line, where they pointed and Chris Collinsworth pointed it out, watching it all over again. The only way Justin Fields, if he hits that hole, the only way he would have to make is if he jumped. He wasn't going to make it running. He wasn't going to make it running. So he would have had to literally dive through that hole. And he'd have been meeting a 300-pounder on the other side if he would have done that.
And once again, the difference between, you know, people watching it in slow motion and having it the benefit of repeat, you know, replay. Okay, Chris Collinsworth in his fat mouth wants to point out a hole that Justin Fields possibly missed, right? That, once again, that's not the play.
At all.
When they hike the ball, he's supposed to follow Patrick because Patrick pulled over. Patrick came from the right side and ran to the left side of Sam Mustafa, and they were supposed to go through that hole right there.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to, and he did that. He followed Patrick, but there was no hole. He ran into the back of Patrick because Patrick got no push there. So it is what it is, man. These people that want to criticize without really knowing the game really frustrate me, man, because it's not hard. This isn't rocket science, people. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not belittling anybody or nothing like that, but all I ask is that you just look at the video, look at the tapes for what they are. Don't get carried away with situations. Don't listen to these idiots who have agendas and hidden motives behind their thoughts. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Look at it and see it for what it is, man. There's no way you can look at that and tell me that it's Justin Fields' fault. There are some things that he can brush up on that he can get better on. And one of the things, you know, Will, you mentioned it as well. Don't throw them yellow balls because people are going to use that. And sure enough, people are using it against you, right? Yep. And then, you know, I mentioned that to somebody and they had the nerve to tell me, well, I think that's puss then. Because it don't matter if it's 2 minutes to go, why'd you give up? I said, bro, you got to score a touchdown, get an onside kick, score another touchdown, get another onside kick, and then possibly kick a field goal to tie the game.
But you're
in 2 minutes. How's it possible? How's it possible in 2 minutes? No, bro. Save your stat line, bro. You know what I mean? In that situation, just go out there and complete a pass, check down, whatever you need to do. I'm not finna throw crazy passes just so that somebody could come back and say, well, he's a turnover machine. Look, he turned the ball over here. Yeah, but it was in garbage time. You didn't.
A lot of his picks are like that. Hey, I finally figured out my board. If y'all wonder why I was sounding different, I have my board. I got this little board. But yeah, a couple of the best people as far as like quarterback breakdowns is Tim Jenkins from All Things QB. He actually went on 670 to score, and he like blew these dudes' mind. I posted a clip, tagged him in it. You know, you follow your brother back. Maybe we can get him on the podcast. He used to play quarterback, coaches quarterbacks. And to have him break it down, he did a breakdown of Justin Fields, QB school. These are the people that I pay attention to when it comes to quarterback play. Because quarterback play is completely complicated, man.
Yeah.
Like, nobody on this podcast will play quarterback. When I play football, I play wide receiver, right? Dan played defense. DeVore played wide receiver. I played a little bit of defense, not much. And outside of playing flag football, I don't know what their footwork is tied to their progressions. I don't know what that means. I don't know how to do that. I never played that. So you get people that act like they know what they're doing when it comes to quarterback play. They don't. I defer to other people who understand the position, right? And that's where I get my information from. I watch more than Justin Fields with quarterbacks. I watch him break down Jalen Hurts. I watch him break down Tua Tagovailoa. And so you can see the different development that happens with these young quarterbacks. They all struggle, except a handful of them, they don't struggle. They come out the gates hot. That's rare. And if you look at the guys who do, they have hella weapons. Like even Justin Herbert, he had Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. You know what I'm saying? Like you just throw the ball up to those guys. Yeah.
And backs that can receive out the backfield.
Yeah, Aaron Eckler, and he had Cook when he first came out. Same thing with Pat Mahomes, he had hella weapons. Jalen Hurts didn't have a lot of weapons. That's why he threw 16 touchdowns and 9 interceptions, right? These guys have to develop. So now you got experts who never played the position, who never even probably played football, who never even played sports, now can play for NFL Plus, and they don't even know what they looking at. Like, dude, they were talking to Bernstein, and Tim Jenkins was talking about middle field open, middle field closed. They had no idea what he was talking about. So you got people watching all 22 who don't even understand the concept of single high safeties and two safeties and what it means, middle of field open, middle field closed, certain passing concepts work towards what the defense is doing. Okay, right. If you're running middle field closed, you probably shouldn't be running skinny posts because right. You're running right to the safety. But right. These people don't even understand that. And they're experts on telling you, this guy should do this, he should do that. This guy's on the football field, wearing a face mask, wearing a helmet, with 300-pound guys in front of him, with Rashad Gary trying to sack him, and he has to see, have people even been on a football field and understand how big a football field is, and how hard it is to throw from one side of the football field to the outside of the numbers? Yeah. Like, I don't think people even understand this.
People don't know. People don't realize it. You know, think about it like this, people, for that don't know it. A football field is 100 yards long, right? Across, though, 45 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That's how far that is across. So when Justin Fields scrambled out against San Francisco and he threw that ball across field back the other direction, that was a 60-yard pass, basically, almost.
Right? Wet ball.
You know, you're going 30 yards down the field and probably 30 yards across as well. So you got to factor all of that. It's about a 50-yard pass, you know, a wet ball. So, you know, understand it for what it is, people. Please. I'm begging you.
And he doesn't have to be where he is right now. I want to get into a little bit of the game, too.
Yeah, like, let's do it.
Yeah, we can get into the Packers game. We came out pretty hot on that first drive. We ran the ball down that throws. We had a touchdown. And Justin, that rush that he did, that wasn't a design rush. That was a rollout. And the defensive back squatted, sat on the route. So he just took it in himself. So that was a hell of a play by him. It looked like we were rolling. And then we looked like a team who's been running this offense for, 2 weeks, offseason? And the Packers looked like a team that's been running this offense for about 4 or 5 years with a Hall of Fame quarterback. And that's my opinion. That's what happened. You had 3-3 and outs. And it was various reasons. It was penalties. You got behind the sticks. And Trent Dilfer broke this down. He was like, the Bears were at 3rd and 11, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 10. You can't put a quarterback in that position and expect to do well.
Put him in an extremely bad situation. Not only that, though, it's just that whole format. Again, like I said, it seemed like the floodgates opened when the sack was taken. Not only with the sack being taken, to start after Green Bay had marched down the field on the offense. On the defense, marched down the field and then they scored. The offense took the field and you can't go, three and out. That's giving them fuel to the fire. That's putting gasoline on the flame. Especially in hostile territory, you got to at least, you got to rip off a couple first downs after that, and flip the field position. At that point, the field position was flipped because you had a penalty.
Oh, yeah.
You had a penalty. Then you took a sack. Okay, so now it's 4th and 28 or something like that. 4th and 23, 4th and 28, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then you giving it to them damn near at midfield with their offense rolling. Speaking of, I'm putting out a APB on Roquan Smith. Straight up. And when I say Roquan Smith, I'm looking like,
who the fuck is that?
Because where has he been? Where has he been? He wasn't there that Packer game at all. But you want $20 million. And when I sent that tweet out, people, and then I put a video behind it and told you why he's not worth $20 million. I told you, people run the ball down our throats religiously, and they run at who? Roquan. They running at you. They ain't running at nobody but you.
And that's another thing.
People, he said he's undersized.
No. I'm saying people look at that game and they say the defensive line didn't play well. The defensive line played excellent.
Yeah, they did their job.
Justin Jones was all over.
Monster.
Justin Jones.
Ballers, monster. Right?
What's the young boy from Tulsa? Travis Gibson. He did his thing.
The problem is your linebackers.
Yeah.
They weren't making the tackles that they should have.
Yes.
They wasn't playing in the run game.
Yes.
Right?
Morrow made some.
That's the problem.
He's not.
But see, people don't realize that. They think, oh, you know, they ran up 200 yards of offense or running game. The defensive line played like trash, and that's not even the case. You got to really look at this stuff, people, man.
The defensive line job in a 4-3 is to keep the offensive linemen off the linebackers so the linebackers can run freely, okay?
Go make their plays.
Linebackers ran freely and didn't make the play. They were getting washed down. They was getting washed down by lead blocks. How is that possible? Or when they get there, they just wasn't making the damn play. Yep. Roquan over pursuing, so he cut back. Now all of a sudden he all out the damn play because he done ran into the damn sideline.
He did that one play, bro.
Taking bad angles.
Ooh. He went inside and got just washed.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly what run. I think it was a big run, but
It was the run by Jones.
Yeah, he was inside. I was like, what are you doing, bro? Like, I expect Kyler Gordon to do that sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't expect Roquan Smith to do
it. Once they realized Roquan couldn't stop it and the linebackers was trash, they kept running. So, folks, I promise you, in this upcoming draft, I promise you, after receiver, we're going heavy linebacker. I can tell you that right now. And those who don't want to hear the truth, I don't think Roquan coming back after this season. I think Ryan Poles and him is either going to ship him out of here. I think they're either going to ship him out of here, or they're not going to put a franchise tag on him. He's not worth it at this point.
He's going to have to.
It's early in the season.
It's early in the season, but he's going to have to really turn it around.
Yeah.
If he wants to stick around and people want to see him get paid here in Chicago, he's going to really have to turn it around. He's going to have to be a force on the football field. You can't just rack up tackles, bro.
Bro,
you
got to
be a difference maker. You got to be
he's
a difference
maker.
Yeah.
Yeah, you racking up a tackle assist by doing that. You know what I'm saying? You got an assist.
But say he's one of the Bears' greats. What crack y'all smoking?
You got to be able to make a difference on the football field. You got to be able to cause some chaos out there, wreak havoc, cause turnovers. We don't see that happening with Roquan, man.
He's not being again. Micah Parsons, difference maker. He knew he had to step up without the court, without Dak Prescott being there last week. What'd he do? 2 sacks. So he's averaging 2 sacks a game. He's leading the league with 4 right now. Micah Parsons.
Right.
Solid on the defensive end. When they get to running that ball, take some time out this week. Because the Bears play at 1, the Cowboys play at 4 against the Giants. Take some time out this week and just watch Micah Parsons play defense. You want to see a difference, man? And I shouldn't have to say this for a fan base that had Brian Urlacher, Mike Singletary, and Blance Briggs. I shouldn't have to say that for those who have. But see, it seems like this new generation of Bears fans is fucking retarded, okay? And don't know that about. They think Roquan is like the greatest fucking thing ever, and I'm telling you, Roquan is fucking whack. I told y'all last year he was whack. And I'm telling you this year, he's fucking whack, okay? Straight up and down, he's whack. I didn't like the draft pick. I didn't want him. I didn't want him.
I didn't want him either.
I didn't want him. Okay? You know who I wanted? Edmonds.
That's who I wanted at first, too.
Minka Fitzpatrick.
You wanted Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I wanted Minka.
You know? I didn't want Roquan because he was too little. He was too little.
We couldn't get Quinn Nelson. So.
Right.
That was. Yeah, I like Edmonds too because he could have been. I think if you can take Edmonds, he could play him like.
Well, he's gonna be a free agent after this season.
Parsons.
Yeah.
Because you can have him rush the passer and play.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Play.
He'll be a free agent after this season. I think Buffalo will probably throw him the bag.
Yeah,
I'm certain.
They're gonna.
But that's who I want from Virginia Tech. And he was young. He's still young.
Buffalo's short on money, though, to be honest.
Exactly. Buffalo is short on money.
They'll make it. For him? Yeah, he's going to make it for him.
But
I want to give props, though. Let me give props. Eddie Jackson.
Yeah.
Eddie Jackson, he been hitting.
What, he had 9 tackles?
Yeah, which ain't good, but.
Yeah, if he get 9 tackles, that ain't good.
Well, that's the problem. That means your linebackers ain't tackling. Yeah. But go ahead.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
But he making the tackles, right? He had the interception, should have had 2 versus 49ers.
Yeah.
And he's been playing well. So we've been on Eddie Jackson's case, man. But even Eberflus said he didn't miss a tackle. He was hitting. Yeah. And they were trying to say Aaron Jones ran him over. Chris Collinsworth was on the Packers' nuts. Like, oh, that he finished well. Well, Eddie Jackson actually finished better on that one. So props to Eddie Jackson. While we on Roquan's ass, Eddie Jackson has been playing well. A lot has been made about the other rookie, Kellen Gordon. He had some good plays, but he got cooked a little bit by Aaron Rodgers. That's to be expected, people. He's a rookie. He's playing. He's learning the outside corner. He's learning the inside corner. He did make a good pass breakup on Lazard Allen in the end zone.
Right.
He had some good plays, but he got cooked a few times. That's what's going to happen when you're playing a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's going to find a rookie, and he's going to pick him. And I saw some of the plays that DeBoer was talking about. I know you and Dan going on, I think we were on Twitter, about setting the edge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He went inside on a couple of runs when he should have went outside. Mm-hmm. He did do that. I expect him to improve on that.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, I'm not going to crush the young man with that.
No, he's learning, man. It's his second game in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? He's learning.
In Green Bay.
Right, against the Packers. You know, but what kills me about them is, and what just, like, irks my fucking skin, man. Number one is the loss to them of all people. Them. And then, on top of that, is just the fact that that was a winnable game. A very winnable game.
Yeah.
That was a very winnable game. It wasn't like they came out and just blew the door. We marched down the field first drive. Whatever worked that first drive, why did we go away from it?
Yeah.
Got behind the sticks, man.
Why did we go away from it? And then on top of that, of all things to criticize, right, this one took the cake for me. 4th and less than a nut hair at the goal line. 4th and less than a nut hair. You go shotgun? What was the fucking point of signing Blassing game? I don't understand that. I don't get that. The whole point. What was the whole point of signing Blassing game and having David Montgomery back there, who's been breaking tackles and ankles all night?
I don't understand. I don't understand the play call. The play call was it was a bad play call. I mean, all you gotta do is hike the ball, fall forward. Justin Fields 6'3", 230. Just hike the ball and fall forward. That's all you had to do. Everybody has done it. Everybody does it all the time. But this is the problem. A lot of times, guys will try to outthink things, right?
Yes.
And what I believe happened, what Getsy did is, okay, Justin ran around the outside for that touchdown earlier in the game, right? So let's line up in shotgun, make them think that he can run around to the outside. It'll spread the line out, and it'll give us a hole that we can run through. And it didn't work. It didn't work. That's basically what happened. They thought the line would spread out a little bit more than normal, and they would have a bigger hole that he could just run through without being touched, basically. And it didn't happen like that.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing about it is, and shame on you to the Chicago media, right? Because instead of that being the topic in the press conference, the topic of discussion is...
Oh, wait. Before we go to that, because that's different from the game. Give a little bit of shout out to David Montgomery. We touched on it.
Oh, he ate.
Yeah,
but
he ate.
Bro, David Montgomery was only on 15 carries.
167, wasn't it?
Give the man 22 to 25 and see what happens.
Yeah.
I think that's gonna happen with Texans.
That's fact. But
go ahead.
The thing is, instead of that stupid ass play call being a topic of discussion after the game, or the topic of discussion the following day in Chicago sports media, Chicago sports talk radio, whatever, right? We're talking that Justin Fields has turned on the fans. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me? So we're not talking about we're not talking about the decision to line up shotgun on 4th and a nut hair inside at the goal line. 4th and a nut hair at the fucking goal line.
Because we had drew within 7 with about 7 minutes to go in the game.
Yeah.
And our defense held them to 3 points in the second half.
Yeah. So we're not talking.
At that point, they had 0 points in the second
half. Yeah. So we're not talking about the stupid ass play call and not putting Luke Getsy to the flame Monday morning. We're talking about Justin Fields turning on a fan base. And that goes to none other than David Kaplan. That was bullshit. That was up and utter bullshit. That's all the way around bullshit, because you know why it's bullshit? I saw what you did to Derrick Rose. You led with your tiki torch and had everybody behind you on Derrick Rose. From what I'm hearing that he's healthy and he's just choosing not to play. And then he gets out there and tears his other knee. Now he's no good. Then you have nothing to say about it. Then, just this past summer, you started a bullshit rumor about Tevin Jenkins.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And tried to get the tiki torches again behind him. Yep. And it didn't work. It didn't work.
Hearing the kid is immature.
I'm hearing he's immature. I am hearing from up in Hallis Hall. You ain't hearing shit. Who you hearing it from?
Voices.
You start to get like Mike Broussard with these sources, man.
Chris.
Straight up.
Chris Broussard.
Yeah, Chris Broussard. Yeah, I'm sorry. Man, he's so irrelevant, I can't even remember his damn name.
Bro, Chris Broussard, man. It's funny because every time I think of him, dog, like this fool look like, have you ever seen his hair?
Yeah.
His hair look like cotton balls, like brown cotton balls on his head. I'm like, I don't know if it's fake or if it's real, bro.
Man, you know, I remember the last of me ever seeing of Chris Broussard, bro. He was on ESPN and he said, trust me, my sources have indicated to me that LeBron is going to stay in Miami and get another and try to win another ring. Breaking news. Here go Windhorse. LeBron James has stated that the king is coming home.
Just landed in Cleveland.
Chris Broussard over there looking like, yo ass is out of here. ESPN was like, man, you gone. Get the hell out of here. Fired him right there on the spot. Because your sources. Cap, you are the same exact way. Where is these sources coming from? So now you went from shitting on D Rose, forcing and then putting the fan base to force him to come out too early when he didn't trust his body. And then he was overcompensating on the other knee, so he tore that knee. And was just never the same after that. So you forced your hand with that one, and then wonder why your Bulls ain't shit now.
Yeah, he rushed back because he could have had the surgery where they reattached it.
Yeah.
He could have had the surgery where they trimmed it.
Yeah.
He elected to trim it, and you know why he did that. He's like 25 years old, and he got the weight of the world. Everybody's like, he's hurt and come back. D. Rose hurt again, and then what did it start? People start saying he got knees like, you know, knees like glass. You know?
Yeah. So you led that, right? And now I wonder why your Bulls ain't shit. Well, you deserve that for what you did to D. Rose. You deserve... fuck the Bulls. I hate them motherfuckers for what they did to D. Rose. Don't get me wrong. I love the Bulls, bro. I always love the Bulls. Jordan to D. Rose. You know what I'm saying? Everything. But after that D. Rose shit, I don't fuck with them no more.
I'll tell you this. With the Bulls, it took the regime to leave for me to come back.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what it took. Because when they had the tax in the bar, I was done with. And I, just like you, I love the Bulls. I love the Bulls as much as I love the Bears. You guys hear me talking about the Bears. I love them as much, equally.
Yeah.
You know, I remember being a kid watching Jordan get beat by the Pistons, 9 years old, just crying, and then they win the championships as a kid, you know. So when they did that, I was done with. And I got in I want to see this. I got in a conversation too with Will Brooks. Shout out to Will Brooks. But, you know, he's been critical with Justin Rose. I said Justin Rose. Look at that. I'm all Justin. Right? And which is cool. We can be critical. But I remember telling him, like, to me, this is a breaking point for this organization. Right? Because it's the same as with Derrick Rose. If this city, bro, runs this man out of town or is just going ape shit, I don't know, bro. The good thing about it, I don't think Pose and Eberflus are on that bullshit like Garn and Patchwork, right?
Right.
I think they understand what they're dealing with and what they're working with, and they're patient. But the fan base? No, bro, I ain't feeling this fan base. Not for the same fan base that gave Mitch Trubisky 4 years. Not the same fan base that gave Jay Cutler 7 years. Mm-hmm. You know, and J. Cutler had legitimate excuses, right? When he first came in, he didn't have weapons. He didn't have an offensive line. And when they did give it to him, he produced. Right. But the defense got old. If we gave this guy 7 years, we gave Mitch Trubisky 4 years, he still has fans.
Right.
We 12 games into this dude's career, his second time playing football under the current regime. He ain't even completed his rookie year yet. If you look at it, this is still his rookie year. You know, it's 17 games in the season. He started 12. And you already like, now you got this standard that you holding the Bears to the 2018 Kansas City Chiefs. This team is not the 2018 Kansas City. We told you guys all offseason, this team is going to have to play good defense, run the ball, and develop Justin Fields along the way. They don't have the horses. Next year, we can get the horses because we have almost $110 million in salary cap and all our draft picks. We said this.
Yeah.
And then you got people like, well, Justin Fields doesn't have, well, we don't have weapons because the GM that you guys love, that we hated, that we wanted his ass fired 2 years ago, Ryan Pace ruined the salary cap.
Right.
And blew through his drafting. He had a couple good picks, but why didn't he keep, he was good at drafting, but traded all his picks. Tell me how that makes sense. He should have did what Ryan Poles did and walked away with 11 draft picks. If you're good at drafting, now you got seven players on the, oh my God, dude. This is the stupidity. And then you got people like David Kaplan leading the band of idiots preaching this bullshit.
And the first thing people want to say is, well, you know, y'all just defend, or you just defending Justin Fields. It's okay to be critical. Yeah, it's okay to be critical. And we do that. But we do it in a fair way. We do it in a, you know what I mean? We assess the situation, what's going on, and then figure out where can he improve. There are improvements that need to be made. You've said it many times. I've said it. DeVore has said it several times, right? He's got to learn how to hang on to the ball. He cannot fumble the ball. If you get hit and you get sacked, don't drop the ball.
Yes.
Don't be careless with the football. When you're running, and you're running, I don't care if you're close to the sideline or not, don't be careless with the football and drop it. You got to protect the ball. So we're critical of him on those situations, maybe some decision making, things like that. But at the same time, we're smart enough, have enough knowledge of the game of football to say, look, everything is not in his favor, like it is with Justin Herbert, like it is with Pat Mahomes. Mm-hmm. You know, he walked in; those guys walked into great situations. And those situations manifested themselves by their play on the field, right? Right now, Justin Fields has been in a situation that is not the same as those guys.
No.
He doesn't have those weapons. Now, we've preached about it, right? They got guys that could possibly be decent players, that could, that have some potential possibly, but they have to take a stranglehold on it, and they got to do something with it. If they're not able to do something with it, then it speaks to who they are. They got to bounce. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, people just need to take it easy, man.
Stop being
so critical. You know, what right do you have to be critical? How dare you be that critical of Justin Fields when we ain't had a quarterback throw for 4,000 yards in the history of the franchise?
Only team.
The only team reason in the NFL.
It's the reason why. Yeah. It ain't, you know, like, as much as like I talked about the two previous quarterbacks, I won't mention Rex because he wouldn't know. Jay Cutler should have thrown for 4,000 yards multiple times.
Yeah.
I'm not even the biggest Mitch Trubisky fan, right? He should have thrown for 4,000 yards. Look at Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, we just saw Kirk Cousins. He's not good.
At all.
But he throws for 4,000 yards all the time. Go ahead. Right.
At all. Right. At all.
Yeah.
So we asked y'all to just pump the brakes, man. Allow Justin Fields to develop. You know, just a few years ago, y'all was saying that Jalen Hurts wasn't a quarterback. Jalen Hurts sucks. Jalen Hurts isn't this. He's not that. He's not this in the NFL. Well, this year three of Jalen Hurts, and he looks pretty damn good. And his offense is probably, outside of the Buffalo Bills, his offense is number two in the NFL, right? Scoring, passing, everything else. And Jalen Hurts is looking damn good as the Eagles are 2-0.
You know who else is looking good? Tua Tagovailoa.
Yes, because you got him weapons.
Six touchdowns.
500 yards. Just coming off a damn 500 yards.
You got
damn
weapons, man.
You know, he got
third
weapons.
Year.
He got weapons.
Third year, give him weapons.
You know, granted, I see a possible move that could be made in the offseason to where you know, I don't know, man. How's the situation looking in Pittsburgh with wide receiver from Notre Dame?
Chase Claypool.
Is he going into his contract year this season?
No, not yet.
I think he got one more.
Got one more season.
But you know what? We, like, people were talking about another thing when I posted the cap space, right? You know, you always got the wet blankets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no good wide receivers. Wide receivers.
Trades are made every offseason, baby.
Bro, exactly.
Trades are made every offseason, baby.
This offseason, that switch teams were trades.
Yeah. Trades are made every offseason, baby. Look at Tariq Hill. He wasn't on the market. They just traded him.
AJ Brown.
Yeah.
Man, what's up with that situation in New York, man? Y'all heard about that? Kenny Galladay?
Yeah.
They got him. He cleaned out his locker after the game on Sunday.
But, bro, he wanted to go there. He wanted to come to Chicago.
He wanted to come to Chicago initially. He never wanted to go to New York.
A-Rob signed that franchise tag.
And fucked him up. Yeah, he didn't want to go there. He wanted to come to Chicago.
He signed a contract.
You know, A-Rod fucked the game up. You see,
give me my contract.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? A-Rob, when A-Rob seen it, oh shit, y'all talking to who? Oh shit, yeah. Let me sign that franchise tag, cuz.
Because at first he was like, I ain't signing that franchise.
Give me that franchise tag, cuz. Run that. Let me get that franchise. Come on now.
Run that 18. Send me that 18.
Expeditiously.
He's like, I ain't signing that thing. Oh, y'all talking to Galladay? Oh yeah, I'll sign that contract.
Hell yeah, man, look. Dude ain't no dummy, man. He knew what was up. He could see the writing on the wall. Like, oh shit. Let me get to it.
Yeah, they're gonna do something with him. They're gonna end up trading him or doing something with him.
Yeah, they probably end up trading. Hey, I wouldn't give up no first or no second for him. I'll give him a third.
No.
I give him a third.
I give him a fifth.
I give him a fifth. I give him this year's fifth and next year's third.
I give him this year's fifth and that's it. He ain't getting no third.
Not the way he's been. Like, that's the thing. He already paid and he's already, so that's why he can be a malcontent. He already got the money. You can be a malcontent once you get paid and you cool with whatever guaranteed money you have. But you can't be a malcontent before you get paid. So he got paid and was like, I don't like them. Like, the Giants are 2-0, but they ain't all that.
Bro, somebody tried to tell me that they would take the Giants roster over the Bears roster.
Like, get the fuck out of here.
Man, what?
Bro.
Get the fuck out of here.
They high, bro. Gotta be.
I was like, okay, well, what do they have better than Chicago? Since you blurted that out, let me know. Well, they're wide receivers. They got Kadarius Toney in. I said, he's second string. No, David Seals is the starter, right?
Right.
And Sterling Shepard,
bro.
Right? So you heard Kadarius Toney, and that's all it is. It's a name. So you don't even know that he's a backup player there. He's not even starting, number one. You know what I mean? Okay, what else you got? Well, I would, right now, I would take Daniel Jones over. Come on.
Wow.
You would take Daniel Jones over Justin Fields.
Why the fuck you lying?
Facts.
That's why they ain't working it. Like, Mike Tomlin, somebody, I think it was What's Good Bears, I can't remember that, but he was like, he posted a tweet, Mike Tomlin said, if you listen to the fans, you'll be sitting next to them.
Damn right.
That's why your ass don't work. That's why you don't even run nothing at your own job. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
Bro. He said their defense is way better than ours.
I'm like, man,
wow,
bro. Their defense? Who do they have on defense? He couldn't name any of the players. I said, do it without Google. You can't even name their players. Like, I mean, this is what I'm talking
Bradbury
about.
No more.
That's what I'm talking about. These is people out there that just make these controversial statements for no reason.
Yeah,
it makes no sense. And there's people that feed into that garbage too. Huh?
Yeah, it is.
On the flip side of things, man, Getsy is going to have to open up this offense.
Yeah, let him go.
He's going to have to open up this offense.
Yep.
You got to.
I think he pissed his leg
a little bit against Green Bay. It's like he got scared.
Yeah, I think they tried to, like we were talking about, I think they tried to muck it up. They was like, we're going to, they only got, another thing I want to say, they only got 41
offensive plays.
That's the average is like 60 to 65. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they didn't run a lot of plays. So just, I mean, some of that was an offensive fault. Some of that was Green Bay's fault because they were running the ball like, they were killing us, which kept the ball out of our hands. So some of that was just, the game was a little weird. I mean, just so people, that's another thing, like people were like, well, there were only 19 passing attempts. Well, tell the whole story, bro. There was only 41 offensive plays ran in the game.
Yeah. Right.
Like, that's what I be talking about, like, provide context. I think we will, because I like, we can get into, that's, we can segue that into the Houston game. The Texans play the same defense as us. We love you. They play hard, but they don't have a lot of talent on that defense. Mm. I implore people, because we study the game, we know a couple of players, like Stingley and guys like that.
Right.
But I guarantee you cannot name, anybody can name five players on that defensive roster.
On defense, no.
No, not at all.
No, I doubt it.
No,
not at all.
I doubt it.
I can't, and I just watched the game last night. Shit, I can't. Stingley, they got Steven Nelson at the cornerback. And,
Christian Kirk is a linebacker.
Yeah,
right.
I'm like, outside of that, I'm like, I can't name too many guys. You know, I think Greenlee's good.
Yeah,
but you can't. So Justin is familiar with this defense. They have Ben don't break defense. You know, they play like us, but they don't have Robert Quinn. And
they don't have the horses.
Yeah, they don't have the horses.
Yeah.
You know, so we should be able to do some things. Like, I watched the Denver game. It's not that they shut Russ down. Russ actually got off. Dude, that was so many drop passes. Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, these dudes dropping wide open balls.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not like they were, like, D'ing them up.
Right. So Roy, what's your keys to victory against them, and what's your prediction?
My keys is that same thing, David Montgomery. You got to eat, because I think you got to run the ball, open up the play action passing. The Texans didn't do well on the run game either. They got gashed. First, they were like Damian Williams, bro, was gashing. Old Damian Williams, number 8 from last year, he's on the Broncos now. He was gashing. We know he ain't like any David Montgomery. Run the ball, set up play action passes, and you got to take some shots. This game, you got to let Justin sling that bitch. You got to throw it. And we gotta try to get the ball into the hands of Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmet. Like, you gotta specifically try to get them the ball. Yeah. You gotta design plays to get them the ball, because how many catches Mooney get? 2?
I think he's got 4. Two catches for 4 yards.
Yeah, how many catches Cole Kmet got?
0.
How many targets he got? What, 2? 1?
Yeah.
He dropped a pass, but shit, he ain't getting targeted. Yeah. We got to get them the ball.
Yeah.
You know, this game and even the next game versus the Giants, they don't have world-class defenses. You should eat. Those stats that everybody down on, you should make up for them these next couple of games.
Yeah.
In my opinion. So I think the Bears win. I don't see the Texans scoring a lot of points. Eberflus has done well versus the Texans. I think they scored 3 points the 2 times the Colts played them last year. 3 points in 2 games. So I don't think they're going to score a lot of points. I'll say that the Bears win 21-13. I think the Colts score, the Texans score a touchdown and kick a couple of field goals. Bears get in the end zone 3 times. You feel good about yourself, but still leave a little bit more to be desired. Like, you like, they probably should have scored 30, but I can live with the win. That's what I think of Bears.
Gotcha.
This one is at home.
Yep.
This is one that we're going to need. Build a confidence builder, because after this, we have the Giants the following week.
And that hell of a roster that the Giants
play. Yeah, and then the Washington Commanders right after that. So this is a good opportunity for us to look at this schedule here and start out 4-1. Again, same on pace. You know, I said 4-1, possibly 5-0. What they're going to have to do is run the football. Like I said, gash them. Again, this defense doesn't have any talent. a lot of talent. They don't. They got guys, serviceable guys, but they don't have any talent. So with that said, you faced two worthy adversaries the first 2 weeks. The run game should take off. I look for Justin Fields in the passing game to take off. However, they still, like Roy said, leave something to be desired. They're still learning. I expect them to move the ball at will. The issue will be punching it in the end zone. However, the Bears come out victorious here. I'm looking at a possible 24-13 score. Bears.
So, you know, when it comes to Chicago and Houston this week, Bears are at home. And right now, I think they were, what, 3.5-point favorites?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, what Vegas is saying is that this is a coin flip of a game, basically. Because the home team always gets 3 points automatically, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying it's a coin flip. You know, and when I look at it, I don't look at it like that. I look at it as Houston is a team that will play above what they're capable of because Lovie Smith will have them ready to play. I believe that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they may not have these big names similar to Chicago. We ain't got the sexy names, but Lovie will have them ready to play. He'll do what's necessary to make it a difficult game. You're not going to walk in there and just curb stomp these dudes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's going to happen. I think it'll be a difficult game. I think it'll be, you know, I don't want to say nip and tuck, but it's going to be a battle. You're going to have to really mm-hmm. earn it, right? So it's a game that if you do get some traction and you do get some momentum, you can really take solace and put solace in there and say, yeah, you know, we won a good game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking for the offense, and this is my keys to victory, is really the offense being able to establish themselves. We don't know what they are right now. We don't know the mm-hmm. identity of the team, right? So I want them to establish what they're going to be moving forward. Are you going to be a team that runs the ball with David Montgomery and utilizes play action to let your quarterback and your wide receivers get comfortable in the offense and make plays? Or are you going to, you know, you're going to go out there and be pass happy? I don't want to see that. I want to see them run the ball, pound the ball, mm-hmm. let Montgomery work because he's, you know, he'll be able to run on this team. It'll be difficult, but he'll be able to run, set up that play action pass the ball. And defensively, just play how you've been playing the last couple of weeks. Defensively, I think they've been good. The linebackers definitely need to step up a little bit. And I need Roquan to do something, make some plays, man. Don't just get tackles. Don't jump on a pile. Don't push somebody out of bounds. Make some plays out there. So those are my keys to victory. If we can have that happen, I think the Bears win this game 24-17.
Yeah. I think we all got it as like a one-score game. I think that's pretty much, you know, kind of what the Vegas is saying. So I don't think this. Now, if they do go out and blow them out and the offense looks rocky, then hey, I'll be a lot more.
Yeah, I'll be
a lot more optimistic. Yeah, I'll be a lot more optimistic. But I think you got to let Mooney, man. Another one, Mooney. I know he ain't been in a lot of targets, but Stingley's a rookie. He's a rookie. You need to eat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I need Luke Getsy to move Darnell Mooney around, like the Jaguars are doing with Kirk, and Minnesota is doing with Jefferson. Move him around, okay?
The thing is, though, is Mooney, he's going to get a lot of attention. And this is why I said in the offseason that he's not a number one guy. And people were like, no, he had 1,000 yards last year. You could plug him in and he'll do exactly what A-Rod did. 90 catches, 1,000 yards, no problem. And I'm like, nah, bro, it don't work like that in the NFL. You know, he's going to get a lot of attention. And he's going to make some plays here and there. But it's going to be a long season. I think it's going to be difficult. I think it's going to be difficult for Mooney. I hope I'm wrong, bro. I really do.
From the receivers, to be honest, the receivers, I ain't really seen no issue with them getting open. Especially with the Packers. They didn't run enough plays.
Right.
Like we said, you got Justin Fields. He's still developing. Sometimes these young guys don't see him or they don't trust that they see him.
Right.
Trust or their that, eyes yeah, in a different trust, spot.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's been open. You know,
sense.
So I haven't seen it where he was just like, Darnell Woods is just getting clamped up. You just gotta, same thing, like, yeah, you still need that big X, so I'm not letting the Bears off the hook, right? You still need to get that guy. In the draft, it's plenty of these guys, you're gonna have a first round draft pick. You can trade for a guy, we can get that guy. But for him to only have two catches, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
You gotta do something.
And like you said, though, move him around, though. That's
yeah, you gotta move him around.
Even EQ's getting open.
Yeah, he is.
You know, he got that ball on that pass he caught on that little flea flicker. That was on Alexander. Mm. And then he picked up Yak. So these guys can get open. You just got to – they're going to have to pass the ball on them. They got to have more than 40 offensive plays for one. If you want to get numbers, and you got to have more than 40.
And that's what I mean by getting comfortable, man. Even if you don't score on a drive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Move the freaking ball, bro. Like, pick up some first downs, get some type of rhythm, you know, something that you can build on. You know what I mean? You don't want to go back to the sideline every time with just negativity that you can look at. You need to be able to look at the tablet or get the call from upstairs and say, okay, this is what we did good here. This is bad. We're not going to go back to that. We're going to do more of this right here. But right now, all you got is bad, bad, bad. Bad, bad, bad. Because it's 3-and-out. So at this point in time, you gotta get comfortable. I just want them to get comfortable, get in a rhythm, and really see what they can do. I think Justin will take off if they do that, though.
Yeah, they gotta get it.
At some point in time, it's gotta click for him. He's gonna have a breakout game, folks. At some point in time, it's going to click.
Yeah.
I just hope it's more sooner than later. But at some point in time, it's gonna click for him. It got to.
Yeah.
He's too good for it not to click.
I think the defenses we played, a lot of people, we got to understand that they were damn good. Like, the 49ers is one of the best defenses. Green Bay is talented as hell. As we just named, Kenny Clark. They just drafted that one boy. I can't think of his name.
Number 7. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Quay Walker. But they also drafted the defensive lineman. Yeah. He's pretty good. I mean, you got Preston Smith. You got Gary. Alexander's good. Rasul Douglas. We all know about Adrian Amos.
Yeah.
Devondre Campbell. This team is good, bro. These are two of the best defenses we're going to see outside of when we play the Buffalo Bills this offseason. Mm-hmm. So you have to. That's the thing. When you analyze something, you have to be realistic. These were good defenses. Okay? This is a young offense. I think we're lucky to have walked away from these two teams. One team went to the NFC Championship game, won 10 games, and the second team won 13 games. They won our division. They've been winning our divisions for the last damn decade.
3 years. All right.
These two teams have 23 combined wins last year. Okay? We're 1-1. Take your lumps from the Green Bay game. Let's go into tomorrow and let's handle business. Let's get a little rhythm.
I agree.
Davis Mills is a nice quarterback, but he's also a young quarterback, like we have a young quarterback. I think kind of the way you play Trey Lance, rushing for and dropping everybody back in coverage. And saying we're gonna wait till you make a mistake, that's probably a good game plan for the Chicago Bears tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think that's a good game plan. Because he's a decent quarterback, but he ain't prolific.
Right.
You know, he's not prolific. He's not dynamic. You know, he ain't gonna break like Justin Fields would and pick up 40 yards with his leg or, you know, have a broken play and sling the ball 60 yards for a touchdown. I think you can contain Davis Mills. So you stop the run, contain Davis Mills. Get the ball back to Justin Fields and let's get this offense rolling.
Yeah.
You know, and get it the right. Last thing I want to say, let Justin Fields develop, bro. I think Justin Fields should get 4 years minimum. That's what I think. He should get this year, give him some weapons next year, and evaluate him. Maybe after year 3, you can truly, really evaluate, in my opinion. He'll be comfortable in the system. You'll get him some weapons, and then you can see what he really can do. This is a whole new. Whatever happened in his rookie years, wipe clean. This regime don't care. They don't care what happened in his rookie year.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree with that 100%. I mean, you know, it's just a matter of being patient, man. You know, people can't look at this team and Justin Fields in particular and say, hey, carry us to the promised land. Not just yet. No. Let the guy develop. There are things that you need to learn about the NFL. You know, we've said it time and time again, bro. These quarterbacks, they come in and they're in good situations. But, you know, Pat Mahomes himself will tell you, you know, and I've said it several times. There's a quote from him. I didn't know how to read defenses in our Super Bowl run. Mm-hmm. They went to the Super Bowl and won because he had so much around him that it was hard to fail. So, you know, there's a learning curve for every quarterback. And this – from the beginning of time until now, you know, these quarterbacks have a lot to learn in the NFL. So let this guy learn, let him develop. Don't expect the, you know what I mean? Don't undo expectations, man. You can't have these lofty, I call it delusions of grandeur. Let's put it that way. Seriously, though, you know what I mean? Delusions of grandeur, because you're expecting this guy to do something, you know, that other quarterbacks are not able to do. And then you're let down, and the fan base as a whole gets dejected and starts bashing him because you wanted to see him do this, that, and the third. It's like, man, just let him grow, man. Let him grow. Continue to water the plant. Let him grow.
We try to prep people for that too.
And, we did. You know, we did.
People don't listen. And this is my thing. Like, when people are like, oh, what if they move on? It don't work like that. Check this out. When you got an uber-talented young quarterback who can make all the throws, who's physically gifted, who's tough as hell, who's loved, who's a great leader, who's busting his tail, you got to ride. Because if you – let's say you decide to move on. You get a college quarterback. These dudes don't take snaps on the center. So now you got a guy who hasn't taken snaps on the center. He's going to have to learn how to take snaps on the center. He's going to have to learn how to call out plays because he's looking at the sideline, looking at a billboard of a – you know, of a Smurf and a mushroom and calling a play. And so you're gonna have to go through this regardless. So I don't understand when people say this. I'm like, that's when I tell you, dude, Bear fans have no idea what they're talking about when it comes to QB development. Because you're gonna get a guy in here, you're gonna teach him the same stuff. And then he might not even be as talented or as hardworking. So you gotta go through this regardless. We've seen this too many times. We've seen Aaron Rodgers sit on the bench for so many years. We've seen Pat Mahomes sit on the bench. We've seen guys take 3-4 years to develop. Just relax. Let the guy develop. If he fails, he fails. Look like we lost Dan, but we out of here anyway, so.
Facts.
Dan, I was like, hey, you frozen. Yeah, we out of here anyway, man. We got the game coming up. College football on today. Enjoy yourselves, man. That's all I got.
Peace.
Peace.